Happy Pride Month! This is your Divinely Queer host, Asa Laveau, letting you know that this episode and each one during Pride Month is brought to you by Queer Money Gang. Join now at queermoneygang.com. Hello, hello, hello. This is the Entrepreneur Show with Asa Laveau, and I am your divinely queer host. Asa Laveau, thank you so very much for choosing and making a conscious effort to being here and co-creating yet another episode. If you had no idea what this month is, what is this month? It is Pride Month. This is Pride Month, and I'm so excited to be finally in Pride Month. And why do I say that? Number one, it's just been a long ass time. Like, it's been a really long journey to get to June 2021. Like, it's been a minute. Like, it's been a cool minute. So I'm very thankful for that. But also, I'm also excited about and just joyous about the fact that I get to highlight and bring to you, introduce to you, queer-owned businesses that are needing your support. Like, point blank period, I'm introducing you to some dope-ass people during Pride Month, because not only is our community really good at standing up for ourselves, standing up for others, but also supporting one another. That is one of the benefits of being a queer identified person in this world. And one of the people that I am so looking forward to bringing to you is an individual that you need to know about. And why? Well, we know that during Pride Celebration Month, many, many, many organizations and corporations have a tendency as of late to slap a rainbow on a meme or a website, and all of a sudden we're supposed to forget 11 months of just blind ignorance or being invisible to them. But they do that so that we can support them. And this individual definitely needs your support now, because not because they are hurting, because their line is dope, like dope as fuck, like seriously. And that is why I am bringing to you and introducing to you Ryan. Ryan, are you there?
Hi, Asa. How are you?
I am magnificent. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I am so excited to be here. A little secret, this is my first podcast ever, so I'm humbled. Thank you so much.
No, we are not busting the podcast cherry on the show.
Yes. I was like, do I tell them? And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to let them know. I'm going to know live. This is definitely honored. Thank you so much.
Of course. The honor is mutual. There is definitely reciprocity. With that, I'm so happy that you're on. So before we do anything, because here at the Entrepreneur Show, we value pronouns. What pronouns do you use?
I use he, him, but you can call me whatever. With the LGBT community, I'm okay with anything. With straight.
And you know, there is a thing, ain't it?
Yeah. Like, a lot of people call me. I love G. I love being G. You know, it's totally fine.
Yeah, that is such a thing. So if there are any allies that are listening to this, that is a thing. Like is Debbie, if someone's pronouns are he, him, and they present as masculine, and someone in the queer community like girl to them, like that's actually okay. It's a family thing. I'll say that. Is that a good way of putting it?
Exactly. I call it, like, is it a term of endearment, you know? sister, boo, cuz, like, I like being called those names. To me, that means I'm family. We're close.
Exactly. Very true. So to get a to learn a little bit more about you, I would love to know, what was your favorite toy growing up?
Nintendo 64.
Okay, why a Nintendo 64? And that came out really, really fast. So how many hours did you spend playing that?
Ooh, enough to make my mom come in the room and say, okay, it's time to go to bed. I love Nintendo 64. I love video games altogether. I think I realized the main reason I like it is because you get to leave and go into this world that you're in complete control of. And if you mess up, you can try and try again. And I just like having that freedom and exploring different places.
So would you say that freedom and that desire to explore had a place in you becoming an entrepreneur?
Absolutely. I've tried being the employee over and over and over, and I never figured out why I couldn't stay at a company for longer than 6 months, why I would always get fired, or why I would lose interest and leave. And I just realized that I have creativity. I have thoughts that I want to get out. You know, they may not be great, but I don't want them to be trapped. And I kind of have to have my own space, my own liberated area to do these things. And yeah, I think video games is definitely a reflection of that. And it came out as entrepreneurship.
Got it. So how do you feel the love of video games helped you create your line, which is affectionately called Outtire rather than Attire? It's called Outtire. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's a correlation there?
So do you get it? Because some people don't get it, but I think you
of course I get it. It's a play on
words. Right? Okay. You got it. Okay.
I'm not dense.
Yes. I mean, I definitely do have a video game collection planned. I definitely want to do that. If you look at some of my clothes, you can even see, like, some of them are styled off of Nintendo's logos and stuff. Allegedly, I can't say that. but the creativity that comes from video games that translated to entrepreneurship, it definitely comes out in Outtire as well. I trend away from, like, we love the rainbow designs, right? We love that. But my goal was to make stuff you could wear to the club, wear something you can wear to the bowling alley, wear something you can wear on a date. And still be able to express, like, I'm gay, I'm bi, I'm trans, I'm non-binary, without necessarily having to show a huge rainbow, right? Because while they're pretty, they're not necessarily appropriate for every occasion, right? I don't want to go to a nightclub and have a rainbow. I might want to wear black. I want to do an all black, right? So that creativity that came from video games that opened up in entrepreneurship, you can definitely see it in Outtire as my designs are really different from other queer fashion brands out there. You said it earlier in your own words. You said it was really dope. And a lot of people use that word specifically. A lot of people say it's dope. It's cool. They don't really say, like, oh, it's pretty. They don't really use those words. They use, like, the words I would love to use, like dope, cool, trendy. So it's a very unique style of, like, queer fashion, I think.
So I would love to know the journey that you had to find that phrase Outtire, even though I get it being a play on words. Of course, you know, we have a tire, and if you're out, you have Outtire. So I get it. However, what was the journey to get there?
I always knew I didn't want to work for someone. I always knew I needed to be doing my own thing, but I never really knew what I wanted to do. Honestly, making clothes was not something I thought of until the very last second, because I didn't always go to Pride. I came out when I was around 22 years old, 23. That's like when I fully came out and was like, okay, I'm ready to show the world. I'm not going to hide it from anyone. And I'm 28 right now. So over the last 5 years, I've kind of, like, discovered that, you know, there really isn't a whole bunch of representation when it comes to Pride clothing, because the first thing I discovered was, you know, we have the gay community, but then you go on to explore when you, you know, once you spend time in the LGBT community, you learn that there's all these wonderful, beautiful communities, the transgender community and the non-binary community, the lesbian community, and there's even less fashion representation for these groups. And this is something that it took me a while to realize and notice. It didn't really hit me until Pride 2019 when I saw the full-on corporate capitalism power of brands like H&M and Target, when pretty much everyone at LA Pride was wearing the exact same H&M Pride shirt. And I was just like, okay, I think I know what I can do. I think I know what I can use my marketing and my business knowledge. I think I know what I can use this for. I think I can create a line of clothing that represents not only gay people, but BIPOC people, the entire LGBT community, and other communities within our community as well. So that pretty much happened like right around 2019. That's when I came up with my the first name, which was actually Pride Teak. I was trying to make a play on words with pride and boutique, and so I forced them together and I called it Pride Teak, but it really never flowed off the tongue. I'm really big on branding. I wanted it to be perfect. I bought the domain name for it, but it still wasn't really hitting. I asked some friends and I wasn't really a fan of it. I don't know how the word outlier came to me. But I think probably I was still playing on words, and I put out and attire together, and I was like, outtire. Like, those are perfect because they both have those two T's in the middle, or one has a T and then the other one has two T's, so they both kind of mix really well together. It rolls off the tongue better, and it makes sense, and I just went with that.
So, Ryan, first off, thank you for sharing that. I do appreciate it, but I need to tell you something. Do I have permission to tell you something?
Of course.
So as we're talking, I was like, you know what? I haven't been on the site for a minute. Let me just go ahead and go to the site.
Mm-hmm.
You make me proud.
Do I?
No, like, this shit is like beautiful. Like this, the functionality, the aesthetic, the ease, all of it so works. And it doesn't feel quote unquote homemade, because I believe that just because you are number one queer, or two, and or two, a person of color, it does not mean that your shit has to look cheap. It just doesn't. Like, those things don't have to be synonymous.
Mm-hmm.
And I, as someone who is definitely aesthetic driven, am on your site and like, oh my God. Like, this is the online experience that queer people deserve.
And you know what you just said? Do you think that, you know, the executives and the corporate and the people up there have a lower standard for queer and BIPOC people because they think, oh, maybe they don't have access to the same resources these other groups do, so we don't expect the same level of work from them? Because sometimes I think that, and what you just said really, really resonated. Like, yeah, sometimes people do expect, like, or I guess in my experience, working with a lot of Pride festivals, the level of the standard people accept was just very low. And I'm not sure if it was, you know, related to that.
It could very possibly be, but it's also about access to resources in the community. So because a lot of BIPOC, queer-identified individuals specifically are doing the best they can, we are doing the best we can with the information that we have at the time we have it. And the majority of us truly just don't have the resources, the wherewithal, the understanding of what it takes to do what you've done. Because what you've done, you've taken a brand like Urban Outfitters, H&M, and you revamped it for the queer experience. And because that's the level of excellence that I'm getting from you. So it's a multitude of things. It's individuals feeling as though we get the crumbs, but also we as queer identified entrepreneurs not always knowing what to do, how to do to make it pop the way we need it to pop to get the clients we deserve. So I get that. And just, yeah, it's in the number of items that you have. Like, okay, when I first, we connected on Clubhouse, correct?
Yes, I fell in love with you on Clubhouse.
Oh, thank you. So on Clubhouse, the way you were talking, I was like, okay, somebody's just starting up. Because you were talking about, you know, starting up. And I was like, okay, they probably got about 5 shirts. Not. There are no, there's, if you think it's only 5 shirts, you are mistaken. You are so mistaken. And I will say this too. As someone who identifies as being pansexual, or we're also known as being omnisexual, there are not a lot of things that I can wear that actually fit me, because I'm not gay. Like, gay for me would only be telling a small part of my existence. And so the beautiful thing that I see in what you offer is that I can wear your apparel. It just speaks to my experience very easily, like very easily. So for instance, there's a shirt on here that says Plant Daddy. There's a shirt with the equal sign, just a simple white shirt with the black equal sign. And then the favorite one, my favorite shirt right now on your site, is the pink proud tee. That is probably my favorite shirt on here as far as the tee selection. So just thank you for offering things that can go for me. And then of course, I say this to the end, there's a shirt on here for my pansexual siblings out there. He has a shirt, y'all, that says pantastic. No, I'm gonna say that shit again. He has a shirt that says pantastic. Like, okay, got it done. So just thank you for doing that. And what was the thought process in having all of this selection?
So not only does queer fashion need to be stylish, it also needs to be representative of more than just gay people, right? Because there's lesbians, there's bisexual, there's pansexual, there's non-binary, there's transgender, and there's so much more. Right now, my focus is to get asexual clothing up there because I can see what people are searching for on my site, and people are searching for asexual, they're searching for non-binary, they're searching for that representation. So
come on, analytics.
yes. So my inspiration is honestly, I call them the community, our members. Whatever they are looking for, I need to create. I have an awesome team of graphic designers through a little graphic design service. So if I see, like, you know, right now there, I've kind of put a hold on the gay and the lesbian designs, and I really want to focus on bi, non-binary, transgender, and pansexual designs, because the goal is to have representation for the entire community. I want everyone to come here and see something for their identity, but also for what they look like. If you go to our about page, I try to feature someone of every ethnicity. And what's really lacking right now is representation of the South Asian and Middle Eastern community. Because my resources are so limited, I'm using a lot of mock-up images. But like, that is my goal. My goal is always to see, like, who is not being represented at Altair. We need to fix that. That's the focus.
Agreed. And one other thing that I would like to just pick apart on that part about the Middle Eastern, South Asian, Pacific Islander not having a lot is, I would love for you to put that, because as someone who has traveled as extensively as I have so far, there is an idea sometimes that those communities are not queer filled. And let me just say, as someone who has been to Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Qatar, Dubai, like, that's just not real. Of course, they are definitely not able to express their identities the way many of us in the West are. However, when I tell you they are there, they are there. So I thank you for being knowledgeable about including them.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. If Clubhouse taught me anything, it's that we exist all around the globe, but sometimes we do have to exist in silence for our safety. But to believe that there are, you know, zero queer people in these areas, is that's not possible, right? So yeah, and that's another thing, you know, it's queer liberation as well. So yeah.
So you just talked about queer liberation, and because I was going there anyway, but you must have picked up on it. A portion of the proceeds from your site actually go to LGBTQ+ charities that have LGBTQ+ and global queer liberation at the core. And what made you do that?
So here's where people call me crazy. My ultimate goal is to have enough money or enough power or enough resources, enough influence, enough whatever it takes to go to these countries that don't have LGBT protections and do whatever is necessary to change that. Because we often see, like, you know, none of us are free until we're all free. But when is that, right? Because we can talk about that as long as we want to here in the United States, but queer people in other countries are being persecuted at this very moment. So I don't want to wait anymore. My ultimate goal with Altair is to become pretty much financially powerful enough where I can tell these governments, you know, or create a, you know, a charity or something that pretty much just overthrows these homophobic governments. Change your laws, protect LGBTQ people, or, you know, we're going to go Hunger Games on you, because the time for liberation is not in 50 years, not in 100 years, not after 100 more thousand queer people have died. It's now. So having a business is kind of like a tool to get there, because that's what I want to do in my life. I want to liberate queer people.
And thank you for understanding how one thing allows something else to exist. I do that within my business, being able to have a 501c3 component of it, so that we really can allow people to honor our prices, because we're doing good when the prices are being honored. So I thank you for going that route. And I'm sure the people that will be affected by you in the future are definitely going to say thank you. And I definitely want to know, how do you see Altair existing in the world, let's say in the next 5 years? What is your goal for Altair?
My goal for Altair right now is to build awareness, right? Get everyone, you know, aware of Altair. This is a fashion brand made for everyone, not gay people, not for money, not for sponsorships, for us, so we can go anywhere and feel liberated and feel comfortable in what we're wearing. In 5 years, I want to get into good trouble. It's not something that I can accomplish at that time, but there are places where, you know, You know, it also depends on safety, but I definitely want to have storefronts. I want to have storefronts in like New York City and Los Angeles, West Hollywood, San Francisco. But I'm not afraid of putting storefronts in maybe certain places of Africa, certain places in South America, as long as it's not endangering people in that area. But I don't mind challenging homophobic governments at that stage. I don't want to wait until I have a certain amount of money or resources to start fighting back. I want to do what I can at that time. And I think one way I can do that is, by annoying countries or regions that are not as welcoming to LGBT places. I guess kind of what I'm thinking of is thinking back of how when Martin Luther King marched into these areas that didn't want black people, right? And they were like, we just have to change our laws because they're not leaving. They're here to stay. And that's what they need to realize about us.
So you bring up Martin Luther King. However, you are giving me Bayard Rustin vibes.
Who?
Bayard Rustin. Do you know who Bayard Rustin is?
I do.
Yeah,
I
you're giving me
do.
Bayard Rustin vibes. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
Which is the highest form of a compliment that I can give, because I view Bayard Rustin as a black queer liberation revolutionary superhero.
I love that title.
Like, seriously, there's when people, of course, we have some very great people, and some people really hone into people like James Baldwin, hell, even Ma Rainey, or hell, Marsha P. Johnson. Like, all these people are definitely it. Even people walking around living the day, Laverne Cox, Jan Mott, got it. But my person is Bayard Rustin. Like, if I could have just been a fly on that wall, a student in his class, just invite me over to wait your table while you and your friends drinking in the living room. Like, I would have just loved to put all of that.
Yes. Because he was also queer, so I feel like he would have been fun to hang out with. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, but not just queer. Did you know the story about the adoption of his lover?
No.
Okay,
Adoption
I
of
gotta
his.
tell you that real quick. Okay, I gotta tell you that real quick because it is Pride Month. So I'll tell you that and then we'll get back to you. Okay. So Bayard Rustin, of course, being a gay identified man, he had been gay, like been thrown in jail for it prior to working with Martin Luther King. And actually, he chose Martin Luther King, for those of you that don't know. So he handpicked him for that. And afterwards, he was forced to be removed from the civil rights movement because the FBI told Martin Luther King, all right, if you're going to do what you're going to do, you have to do it without Bayard, because we will turn this into a witch hunt for gay people and make that the focus and sabotage this entire thing if you don't make him go away. So then Bayard Rustin, who started the movement, silently went away. He was on a street corner, I believe it was New York, saw a younger guy. They exchanged looks, and then they went on a date. They got together, and of course, the laws being the laws during that time, they could not be married and all those things. And Bayard being older, he wanted to make sure that the person that he loved would be taken care of legally. So he legally adopted his lover, which was the lover that was by his side when he passed.
I did not know any of that. I was today
Yeah,
years
when I
old.
say,
That.
I love Bayard Rustin, I love Bayard Rustin. Like,
You
he
know
was
that.
like, he definitely was like the by any means necessary in his own personal life. And that's what I love about him. So back to Outtire. back to Outtire. So how can we support Outtire because we see that it's a dope brand. We see you doing really, really great things. But how can we support you? What's the best way?
Today, in today's world, shares, comments, and likes and follows, that's like currency. I mean, I tell my friends, if you don't have money, don't say, oh, I'm going to spend on my next paycheck. Like, don't do that, you know? Go ahead and pay your bills, invest, take care of you, boo. A share goes a long way sometimes because then you can put more eyes on it. And what if 10 people buy it just because you shared it once? So, I mean, just you having me on this podcast is incredible, and I'm so thankful for that. Anyone listening, if they could go to Shop Outtire on Instagram and share it, share with their friends who need something for Pride Month. I mean, that's the thing with Outtire. We sell Pride gear year round. We're always queer, right? We're not just queer in June. So, I mean, yeah, shares, buying stuff, seeing if you like it. I can throw your listeners a referral code from ASA if you want me to. But yeah.
Sure, we can definitely do that. And I'll make sure that all of those ways to connect with you and to Outtire are definitely in the show notes for those of you who are driving. Do not crash your car. Believe me, you can go to the show notes because all the links, all the ways, all the codes are there. So please, please, please reach out to Ryan for those of you who do make a purchase of a tee, a sweatshirt, something, some type of Outtire. Please, you know, message Ryan, let him know what you did, like show a picture with what you have on. Like those things are important. Please remember to do that. And for those that have decided to join in today and co-create this episode of The Entrepreneur Show, including those in the Queer Money gang, thank you so much for showing up consistently. Your support is invaluable, but also very valuable. Thank you so much. And as always, I am your divinely queer host, Asa Laveau. Dreams and blessings.